This is Reverend Kirk Lawton, minister at Ocean Lakes Family Campground, and this is our podcast. Our prayer is that this message may enrich your life as you find God especially meaningful to you. Thank you for worshiping with us. Several years ago, I received a phone call one hot summer afternoon to go and be with two parents who had just been told that their son had ventured out too far in the ocean while he was swimming, and their boy was feared to be drowned. During several hours of agonized waiting, it became more and more obvious that their little son had lost his life. Seeking to be of at least some help to the grief-stricken father, I said to him, "God understands exactly how you feel." And he answered, "Yes, preacher, I know God understands me, but I don't understand God." The psalmist speaks God's word when he says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee." That's Psalm 50, verse 15. Now, does that verse mean that God is going to shield us from all trouble, that he will prevent our having to experience heartache or grief? Well, we know that's not his promise, but still God promises, "I will deliver you." How? Many times, maybe you've attended funerals of either your loved ones or those of your friends, and you've heard these words spoken, "Let not your heart be troubled." That's from John 14, verse 1. Not let your heart be troubled. It seems from this that trouble is a matter of the heart, doesn't it? When Jesus spoke those words to his disciples, it seems that he was talking about something that can be controlled. I certainly do not think Jesus would tell us or them to do something if he knew all the while that this would be completely beyond our ability to obey. Don't let your heart be troubled. Jesus once told a story in the Sermon on the Mount about a man who built his house on a rock. Great floods and tempests came against it, but the house did not fall because it was founded on a rock. Someone said, "God has not taught us how to rule the tempest, but he has taught us how to build houses that will withstand those storms." God has not given us lordship over the storms, but he has given us lordship over those matters which might otherwise destroy us. Today I want us to look at a vital part of this gospel, this good news. What does our Christian faith have to say to us in time of trouble? The great Christian of many years ago, Andrew Murray, faced troubles in his life. And when he faced troubles, he had a phrase that seemed to help him. He said, "In time of trouble, say, I am here by God's appointment, in God's keeping, under God's training, and for God's time." I want us to look at these four phrases for these remaining moments. First, in time of trouble, say, "I'm here by God's appointment." When you come to some time of trouble in your life, remember, you are there by appointment of God, not by chance, not by accident, by God's appointment. It is only by God's permission that anything happens to us. Now, this is not to say that God ideally wishes everything to happen to us, which does, but whatever comes our way must first pass through God's loving hands. It must first clear the permissive will of God. A preacher was once writing in his church bulletin a report of a convention he had attended. As he wrote words of praise about a particular sermon he had heard, he said in that church bulletin, he gave them to the secretary, he said, "The message was very stimulating." But as the secretary typed those words from the preacher in the bulletin, she was not the most accurate typist. She made just one little mistake. She misspelled the word "message" The message was very stimulating, he said, but when she made one mistake, the pastor's report that came out in the bulletin went to all the congregation, and it said, the massage was very stimulating. Yes, just one small letter can make a difference. An unknown author has written about this same idea in these words, disappointment, his appointment. Change one letter, then I see that the thwarting of my purpose is God's better choice for me. His appointment must be blessing, though it may come in disguise, for the end from the beginning, open to his wisdom lies. Disappointment, his appointment. No good will he withhold. From denials oft we gather treasures of his love untold. Well he knows each broken purpose leads to fuller, deeper trust, and the end of all his dealings proves our God is wise and just. Disappointment, his appointment. Lord, I take it then as such, like the clay in hands of potter, yielding wholly to thy touch. All my life's plan is thy molding. May thy choice always be mine. Let me answer, unrepining, Father, not my will, but thine. Yes, trouble can take on a new look when we learn that God is in it, and he's working all things for the good for those who love him. Fate or luck does not rule our lives. God is working. So in time of trouble, say, I am here by God's appointment. There's another thing we can say, though. In God's keeping, God has not kept us throughout the past, and then when we come to the day of trouble, he's going to turn us loose. Oh, no. God will still keep us. Trouble drives us closer to the Lord and makes us rely even stronger on his arms of help. There are many devout servants of Jesus who owe their beginning of a Christian life to some serious illness, maybe a crippling disappointment, an overwhelming sorrow, or maybe to some great tragedy in life. In the 119th Psalm, verse 71, the psalmist said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Some years ago, there were some missionaries named Finley and Julia Graham who were assigned to Nazareth in the Holy Land. But when they got there, they were not given very much of a welcome. In fact, the first guests that they entertained in their home were some men who were sent to kill them. Well, the night before, a young man had come to their home to tell these two missionaries that at a rally in Nazareth, all the missionaries in town had been denounced as spies for the United States. Further, they were thought to be storing ammunition in their homes, they were accused. And so the young man who came to their home said, "Please leave." And he begged the missionaries to go, flee for their lives. When Finley Graham and his wife refused to leave, however, their informant told them that three men were going to come to their home the very next day to kill them. Mrs. Graham said, "When they came, we gave them coffee and sweets to eat. We told them this was the first time we'd had any visitors and we were so glad to see them." She also offered the three of them a tour of the home. And as they went through the rooms, room by room, she opened each cupboard, each closet, and every drawer in the house. After some time, the three men left, never knowing that the Grahams knew why those three men had really come. Now, this is not some fairy tale story. It really did happen. In time of trouble, we can say, "I am here in God's keeping." But there's a third thing we might say, that in time of trouble, I'm here under God's training. We need to remember that in any time of trouble, we're under God's training. God does allow us to pass through valleys of tribulation, but this is not without purpose. any of you who are loving parents, you know that sometimes you let your child venture out as the child learns to walk, knowing that all the while that child's going to fall sometime during the process. That may even result in a bruised knee or hurt legs, but it is all for the purpose which is best for the child, that is, learning to walk. Jesus invites his followers to learn of him. Matthew 11:28 has a beautiful promise. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." But we often stop right there. We disregard the next two verses. Jesus went on to say, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, why would a person who is weary and burdened volunteer to take on a yoke, which was a symbol of even greater burden? Some years ago, I heard Dr. Paul Brand, a great Christian physician, said that he worked as a surgeon in India, working mainly with leprosy patients. As you may know, leprosy is a disease of the nerves. The victims do not feel pain. Dr. Brand said that hundreds of his patients had damaged their feet by wearing shoes or sandals that had a tiny rough spot protruding. And step after step, that rough spot ground against the skin, but these patients' defective pain cells did not warn them of danger. Dr. Brand said that most of the damage came from small, repeated stresses like this, not from bruises, cuts, or burns. Even a gentle stress, when applied to one spot repeatedly, can destroy living tissue. The best example of this is a bed sore. A patient can get bed sores just by lying still on the same spot too long in bed. Whereas a person who is able to move about in bed will toss and turn throughout the night, unconsciously perhaps, when healthy nerve cells may become tired. But on the other hand, too little stress can also affect living tissue. Cells need exercise. Without it, they're going to stiffen and become useless. You can ask anybody who's ever worn a plaster cast for some time. Dr. Brand said that he once treated a fellow who identified himself as a holy man in India who had held his hand above his head uselessly for 20 years as a religious act. The muscles in that man had shrunk to nothing. All the joints had fused together so that his hand was now like a stiff paddle. Healthy tissue needs stress, but stress that is distributed among many cells. Now, when we apply this principle to the stress caused by a yoke on the neck of an ox, maybe we can understand a little bit better what Jesus was talking about. If you put a flat, uncarved piece of wood on the neck of an ox and use that to pull the cart, very quickly, pressure sores will break out on that animal's neck, and he'll be useless. A good yoke has to be formed to the shape of the neck of the ox. It should cover a large area of skin to distribute the stress widely. It should also be smooth, rounded, and polished with no sharp edges so that no one point will have undue stress. Now let's go back to Jesus' words. Jesus offers each of us a well-fitted yoke, custom-made, when we are under his training. He does not call us to the kind of rest that means inactivity or laziness. That would lead to an unhealthy condition. Instead, Jesus promises to give us a burden which is designed to fit our frame, our strengths, our abilities. And when we come to him weary and heavy laden, Jesus takes away those heavy burdens that would destroy us, and he replaces those with a custom-made yoke. designed especially for us. Jesus said, in essence, wear my yoke, for it fits perfectly. And let me teach you, for I am gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your souls. Look it up in Matthew chapter 11, verses 29 and 30. And in time of trouble, we can say, I am here under God's training. Finally, that last phrase that Andrew Murray used, in time of trouble, say, I am here for God's time. God will bring us out of our trouble in His own good time. Saint Teresa used to say, with every difficult hour, this too shall pass. I like what one old lady said was her favorite Bible verse. They asked her, Auntie, what's the favorite verse in the Bible? And she said, my favorite verse is, and it came to pass. And when she was questioned about this, she explained, that's right. Whatever it was, it didn't come to stay. It came to pass. There are times when there's nothing much we can do except for wait for God's own good time to heal the wounds of trouble and sorrow. God's time is never too late or too soon. This too shall pass. A man who travels by camel across a desert may be suddenly overtaken by a wild sandstorm. What is he going to do? Well, it's useless to try to battle on through the storm. So what he does, he dismounts from the camel. He falls face downward on the sand, covers his head with his cloak, and he waits an hour, 3 hours if necessary, even half a day if necessary. He knows that sandstorm will go, and then he can rise and continue his journey. When we know that the trouble we endure will be only for God's time, then we can find in Him that haven, that refuge that we need so much. Some unknown author expressed it in the words of a hymn we sometimes sing, when the storms of life are raging, tempests wild on sea and land, I will seek a place of refuge in the shadow of God's hand. Though He may send some affliction, 'twill but make me long for home. For in love, not in anger, all His chastenings will come. Enemies may strive to injure. Satan all his arts employ. God will turn what seems to harm me into everlasting joy. So while here the cross I'm bearing, meeting storms and billows wild, Jesus, for my soul, is caring. Naught can harm His Father's child. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that our faith does have something to say to us when we are in time of trouble. We know that in a worship service such as this, those of you who are gathered here at Ocean Lakes and so many who are listening by podcast, so many are all around us are suffering in ways that we don't even know about. There are those out there in the hospital and nursing homes, some confined to your own home, hoping for some word of encouragement from God, something to help you get through another day. I was visiting in the hospital recently, and I was talking with somebody who was confined to bed, was having a hard time adjusting to life in such a restricted way. And I mentioned, as I often do, that sometimes God lets us be put on our backs so that we can look up. Alice Mortensen expressed that same truth in the words of her poem, I needed the quiet, so He drew me aside into the shadows where we could confide, away from the bustle where all the day long I hurried and worried when active and strong. I needed the quiet, though at first I rebelled. But gently, so gently, my cross He upheld and whispered so sweetly of spiritual things. Though weakened in body, my spirit took wings to heights never dreamed of when active each day. He loved me so greatly, He drew me away. I needed the quiet. no prison my bed, but a beautiful valley of blessings instead, a place to grow richer and Jesus to hide. I needed the quiet, so he drew me aside. Are you facing right now some kind of trouble in your life? Maybe vocational, maybe family, maybe financial, emotional, physical, or in some other way. There is good news for you today. In time of trouble, say, I am here by God's appointment, in God's keeping, under God's training, and for God's time. God says to you right now, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. Oh God, how grateful we are for the precious promise that you have given to us, that you don't turn your back on us when days of trouble, grief, hardship, whatever it may be, when those days come to us, you're right there by our side. Help us to feel your presence right now according to our need, we ask in the precious name of Jesus, our companion, our Savior, our God. Amen.